A very pleasant good morning to each one of you in our radio audience. How good it is to have you study with us. The Seeds of Truth is presented to you by the congregation of people who make up the Rivermont Church of Christ. Our building is located at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. You have a cordial invitation to be our guest at any or all of our services, and I believe you will be pleasantly surprised to see the simplicity of New Testament worship. And again, I invite your questions and or comments to anything that I might say, as I continue to recognize the tremendous responsibility of those of us who speak publicly. We have the awesome obligation of speaking the truth, the Word of God. For the past 6 weeks, we have been studying the subject of the Holy Spirit. In our lessons, we have made references to the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit as referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I wish to look at these gifts a little more in detail this morning. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 4, and reading through verse 11. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This morning, let's examine each of these gifts that were given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, as we have seen in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 19. The first of these gifts is wisdom. The word wisdom is defined as a faculty from a good judgment of the circumstances of actions to do them at the best time and in the best manner wherein they may be serviceable to their ends. Now, every Christian needs to use wisdom in the application of God's Word to their lives and affairs. But this was a miraculous power, a gift, to assist the early churches to solve the problems that would arise from day to day. Surely none in the church could be wiser than were those to whom the Spirit gave the word of wisdom. The second gift listed is knowledge. Knowledge is defined as teaching which appeals to the rational faculty. The intellectual is made the buttress of the moral and spiritual. This knowledge led men who could speak the truth and present gospel facts accurately as revealed by the apostles until the New Testament could be written. Man of his own invention and mentality could not know the mind of God, and so the necessary knowledge was imparted through this special gift. Great truths such as God the Father and Christ the Son, salvation from sin, heaven, hell, and the many other needed lessons. This gift of knowledge was essential to revealing God's mind to mankind. Now remember, the book we call the Bible had not been written at this early time. So until the completed written word was given, it was essential that these early converts be divinely guided in the knowledge of God. We've studied the past 2 weeks, the passage in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, that this gift was to be done away when the completed book of God had been finished in verse 10. There would no longer be any need for the gift of knowledge because God's will would be given to man in written form. That book we call the Bible. The third gift mentioned is miraculous faith. Now I want you to notice that this faith is not the faith mentioned in such passages as Hebrews 11:6, where the inspired writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That faith is obtained by hearing God's word. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:17. Get out your Bible, read along with me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Saving faith comes through a study of God's Word, an acceptance of the testimony of Jesus the Christ as the Son of God, a belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ from the dead, His ascension unto the Father, and our salvation by obedience to the good news proclaimed by Christ when He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," in Mark 16:16. This faith in 1 Corinthians 12 was received after one became the child of God. It was a miraculous faith, a faith that could move mountains, 1 Corinthians 13:2, or look at Matthew 17:20. The Bible does not give us much information as to the usage of this gift. Perhaps the individual with the gift of faith knew when God wanted him to perform a certain work. The fourth gift mentioned is the gift of healings. More than one kind of sickness was healed. Christ wrought miracles on many: the blind, the dumb, the leper, the palsy, the withered hand, an ear restored, and even more. The apostles worked a variety of healings. A man born lame who walked immediately. Many healed in Acts 5:12. The palsied and lame in Acts 8:6-7. And many, many more. There were no failures after the Spirit came to guide the apostles. The fifth gift mentioned is the working of miracles. Jesus had worked mighty works and wonders and signs. You remember Peter states, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know." Acts 2:22. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 with a boy's lunch. He raised the dead. He turned water into wine, stilled the storm, and many more. The Greek word used here implies works mightier and more striking than healings, though they are in the same area. The apostles wrought great miracles, special miracles, as those wrought by the Apostle Paul in Acts 19:11-12, and with Ananias and Sapphira, who were struck dead in Acts 5:1-6 for lying to the Holy Spirit, and raising the dead in Acts 9:36-40. And there it tells us about Peter raising Dorcas from the dead at Joppa. And also in Acts 20:10, Paul was bitten by a viper without any ill effect in Acts 28:3-4. Casting a blindness upon Elymas, a false teacher, in Acts 13:8. So indeed, these early disciples performed great signs and wonders because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me hasten to point out that those today who claim to have the same gifts which the early disciples had do not do the things which these early disciples did. When's the last time you witnessed anyone raised from the dead? Or anyone casting a spell of blindness upon another? Or any one of the others that have been mentioned? Often we hear the explanation given, it was because you didn't have faith. Well, I want to ask you just one question. How much faith did Dorcas have while she was dead, and yet she was raised from the dead? Again, I say, cast a spell of blindness upon me, and your claims will be verified. No need to debate. I invite you to demonstrate. The sixth gift listed is that of prophecy. This gift would give one the ability to speak by divine guidance. It includes the ability to foretell future events as well. Remember, the Bible had not been written at this point of time. There was the need to have men who could speak the truth by direct guidance from heaven. Men who would not err in this revelation. God did not leave it up to men to remember everything which Christ had taught them. The Spirit was sent to guide them into all truth, John 16:13. Prophecy was to exhort, 1 Corinthians 14:3. To edify, 1 Corinthians 14:4. To teach the church, 1 Corinthians 14:31. To teach the unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 14:24-25. The gift of prophecy was to fill the gap between the first converts in Acts 2 until the completion of the perfect message from heaven. Now remember, the gift of prophecy was to cease to be done away in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, when that which is perfect, God's complete revelation, has come in verse 10. We now have that completed perfect word, and the gift of prophecy is no longer needed. Remember, Jude states, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." Jude, verse 3. Did these early disciples have all they needed to serve God? Who among us would deny that? What more could be added today that they did not have? You see, the need for present-day revelation or prophecy is long past. The seventh in the list of miraculous gifts is that of discerning of spirits. This gift would give the recipient the divine ability to determine between truth and error. In Acts 5, 1 through 6, as I've mentioned earlier, when Ananias and Sapphira lied, Peter could discern this. There were many false prophets in the first century, as there are many false teachers in the 21st century. How do we today determine if one is a false teacher? Well, simply by comparing what they teach with the Bible, the Word of God. But in the first century, that book had not been written, so the need for divinely guided members who could determine whether or not one was speaking the truth, thus the discerning of spirits. The eighth gift listed by Paul is that of tongues. To speak in tongues was to speak in another language, a language which one had not learned nor studied. So when the apostles spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, the audience understood what they were saying. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 reads this way, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language." And verse 8 says, "And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born?" Again in verse 11, "Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God." There was the need for these early disciples to go forth into all the world and proclaim the gospel of Christ. Jesus had given them the command, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of the whole creation," Mark 16 and 15. The ability to speak in other languages enabled them to carry out that command. Since our time is rapidly disappearing this morning, we shall leave this point and continue next week with a further study on the matter of speaking in tongues. I hope and pray that you will tune in again next week as we continue this important study of the Holy Spirit, and specifically what is involved in the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to invite you to visit with us during our periods of worship and study. We meet Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for morning worship, and again Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for our evening worship, and Wednesday at 7:30 for Bible class. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Until next week, I bid you a very pleasant good day.